Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
There's an estimated 380,000 people living with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease known as COPD in Ireland, but less than a third of that number are likely to have had a formal diagnosis. Now, while it's not curable, COPD, it is treatable. And here to tell us more about the signs and the symptoms and living well, we hope, with this condition, I'm joined by Associate Professor Stanley Miller, who's a consultant respiratory physician in the Mater Hospital and chair of the COPD Support Ireland Group. You're very welcome, Stanley.
Thank you very much for having me this
morning.
Great
to have you with us. I think that's a shocking figure, 380,000 people with COPD.
It is. COPD is chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. It's an umbrella term that includes the term emphysema. Some people will be familiar with that. That affects the air sacs or the alveoli at the end of the airways in the lungs. And it also includes the term chronic bronchitis, which is inflammation of the airways in the lungs. What COPD is a condition that we can breathe in reasonably well, but we can't breathe out as well. And what's happening inside the lungs with someone who has COPD is there's three things. The airways are tighter, a thing called bronchoconstriction. In the same way as someone might have a rash on their skin, it's red, raw, it's inflamed. Imagine that on the lining of the airways or the tubes inside the lungs. And then the airways produce a bit more spit, a bit more phlegm, a bit more secretions. And as you said, there's 380,000 living with COPD in this country, of which only 110,000 are thought to be diagnosed. When we look at those over the age of 50, 10% of us are living with COPD. And when you look at those over the age of 70, 50% of us are living with COPD.
So essentially your lungs are irritated and annoyed and upset, basically.
Yeah.
And your breathing is impacted as a result.
Yes.
Is that an accurate enough description?
There's that inflammation in the lungs and you're getting the air into. Imagine your lungs like two balloons. And you're getting the air into those balloons, but you're not getting the air out of the balloons. So those balloons, your lungs get a little bit larger, and that pushes down on your diaphragm, which is your main breathing muscle. And when your diaphragm is flatter, it's less efficient, so you get shorter breath.
So you feel like you're getting the air in, which is, you know, a good thing to know. So you feel like that's working. So what does it feel like when you can't get the air out then? What is the symptom of that?
Well, the main symptom of that is shortness of breath, particularly when you go to do something. Now, one of the most important things, and we may talk about all the medications and that we can use for COPD, but one of the most important things someone can do for COPD and any chronic lung condition for that matter is to stay active. If you stop doing things because you're worried that you'll get short of breath. You're not using your muscles, and that includes your breathing muscles. And if you don't use your muscles, you lose your muscles.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
Then when you're trying to do something, you have to put in more effort, and then you get more short of breath. So there's this vicious cycle. So you have to stay active.
I think we understand that's always good advice to stay active. But if you're short of breath and you feel that sensation, that's going to be a real challenge for you, isn't it, to stay active?
It is, but it's far better to try and do something and take a break than avoid doing it at all.
So let's talk about diagnosis then. If there are so many people out there who have this condition and don't know that they have it, how can they find out?
Well, there's a simple test called spirometry. It's a breathing test. And the way we diagnose COPD is we identify the symptoms, and we've talked about shortness of breath, but also wheeze and cough, and you may cough up some extra spit. They're the symptoms. And then we identify the risk factor. And in the majority, unfortunately, that would be smoking. But there's not only just smoking as a cause, there's occupational exposures and genetic factors. So we've got those risk factor and the suspicion with the symptoms. And then you confirm the diagnosis with that breathing test called spirometry.
Okay, which is a simple thing that you can have done with your GP, is it?
Not necessarily with your GP, but what's really good now about our health system is that the HSE has invested in COPD and other chronic diseases such as diabetes and heart failure. But our GPs are now doing what's called the Chronic Disease Management Programme. And that's where all patients over the age of 45, with either a GP visit card or a medical card, are being seen routinely by our GP colleagues twice a year.
Okay.
And as part of that, they're also looking at people who might be at risk of COPD. And if our GP colleagues are identifying those patients, they can then refer patients for a spirometry test in a thing called an integrated care hub. And they're popping up all around the country. And also we can get the spirometry tests done in our hospitals.
But as with most things, your starting point is your GP.
Exactly.
Right. And do you find that there is confusion sometimes between the symptoms of asthma and COPD? Does that happen?
There can be, but the symptoms are very, very similar in the sense that asthmatics will also have cough. They'll cough up more sputum. They'll be wheezy. But what tends to be a bit different is the pattern of shortness of breath, whereas someone with COPD, it's more predictable. They know if they try and do something, they'll only be able to walk a certain distance. It's fairly predictable, whereas asthma tends to vary a lot more from day to day or even within the same the same day.
Before we come to questions, and we've plenty of them coming in, what are the treatment options?
So, you know, I alluded to there some medical options. And if you remember, there was the tightening of the airways, there was inflammation or red rawness in the airways, and also extra sputum. So we've got inhalers that actually have drugs inside them to help open up the airways a little bit. And also in some inhalers, there may be some steroid, which reduces down the inflammation. And we can also give medications to help break up the secretions. That's the medical management. There's arguably far more important things that we can do in addition to that. I've already mentioned staying active. There's a thing called pulmonary rehabilitation that, again, GPs can refer into the integrated care hubs. And that's a programme 6 to 8 weeks long where patients go twice a week. They learn more about their lung disease, but they also do exercise that's tailored to their needs. And we know that reduces shortness of breath and improves quality of life. Mm-hmm. And what's really important is that patients and people are able to stay active after that discrete pulmonary rehabilitation. And COPD Support Ireland actually provides patient support and exercise groups to allow patients to stay active. So they're staying active. It's never too late to stop smoking.
Knock the cigarettes on the head, isn't that the
main
advice? And
it's not just
advice?
Regular cigarettes, it's e-cigarettes or vapes as well.
Oh, really?
Because even though e-cigarettes and vapes may be less harmful, they are not harmless. And we are seeing more and more the bad effects that vapes are having on people's lungs.
Right, tell me about that, because that's really interesting, because it's really difficult because we don't have the timeline. You know, every time we look at this on the programme, we don't have the timeline. We don't know whether vapes are harmless or harmful. But you're on the front line of this. Yeah. So what are you seeing?
Well, we're definitely seeing a signal. So patients who have asthma, you mentioned asthma or COPD, if you use electronic cigarettes or vapes, they are going to be further irritating an already irritated lung. And it's not just the actual nicotine in the vapes that's potentially causing problems, flavouring of the vapes, and also what the vapes are made out of. You know, at the end of the day, if we breathe anything into our lungs, it's not perhaps a surprise that it's going to cause problems.
Fair enough. It's a fair point. If you are inhaling something in that intense way, it's going to have an impact, right?
And one important thing is that I know some people might be using e-cigarettes or vapes to try and get off regular cigarettes, and that's a good thing. Unfortunately, it's not something we generally advise in relation to smoking cessation in the HSE. However, not smoking regular cigarettes is a good thing. But if you are smoking e-cigarettes or vapes, you should always try and wean down so that you're totally off rather than replacing regular cigarettes with
because the NHS does advise and does use.
They're an outlier. When you look at all the other European countries, we do not generally advise e-cigarettes in smoking cessation. The NHS is a very definite outlier in that.
Let's come to some of these questions. So my dad, my three sisters, some of my aunts and uncles all had COPD and died relatively young. I'm a non-smoker, but I'm wondering, could there be a genetic connection?
Yes. As I mentioned, about 90% of COPD is smoking related, but there's 10% that isn't. And part of that 10% may be due to an occupational exposure. I was a consultant in Leeds before I came back to Ireland. And in that part of the country, there was a lot of coal mining. And that was causing problems with people's breathing. But about between 1 and 3% of COPD can be genetic.
Mm-hmm.
And one definite genetic condition we know of that causes COPD is alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency. And we're able to diagnose that and see if someone's got that genetic predisposition by doing a simple blood test. Your GP or a respiratory specialist can do an alpha-1 antitrypsin level, and that then can help diagnose whether someone has a genetic
condition.
Now,
give me that one again, because that listener's going to want to go and ask for that. So what's
alpha-1
the... Alpha-1
antitrypsin.
Okay, alpha-1 antitrypsin. That's what you're going into your GP to test for.
GPs will less likely, but certainly the Alpha-1 Foundation is a good place to look up their website,
mm-hmm.
And you get extra information about that and how the best way to test
it. I'm sure they would welcome somebody like that listener who does have a very strong family history to get checked. Okay, let's come to another one. This listener is 36. I've always had mild asthma, which worsened since COVID bouts. Is there anything I can do to improve my lung health over the coming years, as I am fearful of COPD down the line? Now, is that person right to be fearful of COPD given that history?
Well, they've talked about a history of asthma.
Yeah.
And asthma is a slightly different condition where we can use slightly different medications. However, if you don't look after your asthma, whereas asthma, when you take inhalers, the tubes or the airways in the lungs open up to a much farther, greater degree than COPD. But if you don't look after your asthma, your lungs start to become less responsive to the drugs. And you can develop lungs that might be very like someone with COPD. So all the advice that we give around COPD, staying active, stopping smoking, and things we didn't talk about yet was eating healthily,
because
we know if someone's overweight, or indeed if someone's underweight, mm-hmm. With COPD or a respiratory problem, they don't tend to do as well. So eating healthily is really important. And the HSE has got a Living Well program that helps support patients.
So is it more about staying healthy rather than eating particular and specific foods?
Exactly.
Okay. Next one then. I have COPD, says this listener. Have you any advice on a lingering, persistent, exhausting cough which seems to have worsened after a series of chest infections?
Yeah. Now, a cough that's lingering, you always have to take seriously. And I would go to your GP, because at least having an X-ray, and if there's any concerns on the X-ray, having a CT scan, which is a more detailed look at the lungs, is what we'd usually advise. However, there are less worrisome causes of cough, and one of those can be actually gastroesophageal reflux. And that's reflux or heartburn. If the acid's going the wrong way from the stomach into the esophagus, the body's worried it's going to go all the way up and spill into the lungs. So there can be sometimes a tightening of the airways and a cough. So that can be quite a common cause for a lingering cough. Other things are medications, particularly blood pressure medications, can sometimes have cough as a side effect. If people have viral infections, sometimes they can have a cough after a viral infection, but it does tend to settle down after 2 or 3 months.
So
but a persistent cough, I would take seriously.
Okay, so your advice to that person is to get that checked out.
Yes.
My next one says, my mother, who's a former smoker, is almost 75 and has asthma along with COPD, which is gradually getting worse. And they'd like to know whether she would be okay to travel to hotter countries, or will this exacerbate her breathing further? What's the advice on that?
The advice is that sometimes people, I suppose it really depends on what triggers their asthma, because in some people actually colder air, and it's a cold, sharp morning this morning, colder air can cause that tightening of the airways and cause more symptoms and shortness of breath. So some people actually find going away to a warmer climate can help them. However, others might find heat, particularly if it's excessive heat, overwhelming. It might contribute to some dehydration as well. The other thing is that when we're in Ireland, we're being exposed to various things things in the environment and actually going to a different country, we might not be getting exposed to the same things that can affect our breathing. So it's hard to be very specific. Mm-hmm. You know, some people might benefit from it, others may not.
Okay, I have a question here which says, could you tell me if inflated lung can progress to COPD? What is that? Inflated lung.
Yeah, well, what I was mentioning was how COPD can cause your lungs to what we say hyperinflate. And that was that balloon analogy. Mm-hmm. When you're actually breathing in, it's relatively okay, but you're not able to breathe the air out. So the lungs
inflate
and they get hyperinflated, and that pushes down on the diaphragm, and that contributes to that shortness of breath I was talking about.
Okay. This is interesting. So this is from a person who is working above a busy nail bar. There's constantly a strong smell of the chemicals that they use. You're nodding. You know about this,
well,
do you?
No, I can remember seeing a patient in my clinic in the past who had the very problem where they were being exposed to sort of fumes and it was causing a tightening. And actually, they moved away and their breathing got better.
Because this person wants to know if this puts her at risk of COPD, him or her.
It wouldn't potentially put them at risk of COPD, but certainly if they were sensitive to the various chemicals and the chemical smells, it could be contributing to respiratory symptoms.
So you need to watch that one.
You would.
If you're exposed to that.
Yeah.
Stanley, it's been really good to talk to you, and thanks for taking all of those questions, which are still flying in. We might have to get you back. Thank you so much. That's Associate Professor Stanley Miller, who's a consultant respiratory physician in the Mater Hospital and also chair of COPD Support Ireland. And World COPD Day takes place on Wednesday, the 20th of November. And COPD Support Ireland is undertaking a nationwide roadshow called COPD and Me. If you'd like more details and if you want to download the new booklet to accompany that event, you can go to copd.ie. Coming up next, we'll have the latest on Donald Trump's top team appointments and today's White House meeting with Joe Biden. That's coming up after this.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.